Hi, this is The Wordsmith. This show is sponsored by Busted Tees, your home for funny, awesome, cool t-shirts that are sure to get your friends' attention. Busted Tees puts many of their popular shirt designs on sale each week. Choose from several eye-catching t-shirts inspired by pop culture, such as Jarvis is my co-pilot, shout out to the Avengers, Age of Ultron, or the Central City Running Club, shout out to the Flash. To help keep our podcast free, order from Busted Tees by going to cspn.us. That's cspn.us. Then click on Keep Our Podcast Free link. Click on the Busted Tees banner, then shop for awesome t-shirts. Busted Tees through cspn.us. Do it today.
The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
And welcome to another exciting episode of the Quick Nations Comic Book Chronicles.
Yay!
I am your host, Tim DLGG. And we have a full house here tonight. All the hosts are in attendance. We've got USA, USA.
That's right.
No.
So, yes, we should wish everyone a happy and safe July 4th weekend.
That's right.
And tonight we are joined by at PCN underscore dirt on Twitter.
If my bottom third isn't working, I'll just have to make my own.
So just hold that there for the next...
Yeah, for the whole show.
Make sure to go to his website, popculturenetwork.com.
There you go.
We have the man behind the sound effects, at agent underscore 70 on Twitter.
What's up, everybody? Happy 4th of July.
And we have at Roddy Cat on Twitter.
Happy after Canada Day. And
were you wishing people happy Canada Day?
Hey, we got Canadian listeners, viewers, probably.
Yeah, we do.
Some,
I'll add to Canada.
Yeah, speaking of which, let me add that to my reading list for later. But yes, go to our website, theclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and Comic Book Reviews and Comic Book News, because I do post news now.
Yay!
Yeah.
Follow the Twitter account, at CBCron. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Add us to your circles on Google+. Just search for The Click Nation and join the The Click Nation community. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and YouTube.com. For YouTube, it's youtube.com/TheClickNation. We're a part of the Cold Slither Podcasting Network. You can find them on their new web link, cspn.us.
USA. Go ahead.
Use the hashtags Comic Book Chronicles or CBCron on your favorite social media websites. Oh, and also while you're on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, make sure to give us 5-star reviews, give us thumbs up, share, and recommend the shows to your friends. And we record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you're ever at home, go ahead and throw us on in the background. We make for easy listening on your Thursday evenings.
Dulcet tones of Tim, D-O-double-G, 9-8.
Yeah. I've been tossing around the idea of changing my at name to get rid of the 9-8.
I mean, at this point, it's like...
It's yeah, we have to differentiate yourself from the rapper, so... You know.
This is true.
Because that'll happen, yeah.
You never know. It is Twitter, after all.
Well, I guess.
Oh, and make sure to support the Cold Slither Podcasting Network shop. Go to redbubble.com/people/CSPN/shop. Buy some of our Comic Book Chronicles swag.
Yeah.
Alrighty, let's see.
I'm waiting for the day where we see someone wearing a Combo Chronicles t-shirt at a con. That would be awesome.
You mean that's not one of us?
That's not one of us.
Because I'll definitely do it.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, that, and I'm starting to think that's something that we should try to plan for upcoming cons.
Settle dirt.
I hit the wrong button and hung up, and then when I tried to reconnect, I couldn't get any sound. So, yay.
We're back. You're back.
So you hear us now.
Yay, technology.
Yeah. Let's start off with the cinematic news for the week. Let's see, Marvel's Secret Warriors are coming to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Comic-Con next week.
I mean, it's kind of the worst-kept secret, but, you know, it's still nice to see them actually promote it.
Yeah, it gives me the incentive to go back and finish the Secret Warriors original run.
Yeah, the original run is probably what you really need to read.
I read up to Stefano Caselli arc.
All right.
Let's see. Jessica Lucas cast in Gotham Season 2 as Tigress.
All right, someone want to tell me who that is?
We're in a row, Rorge.
Okay.
Let's see. Season 2 of Daredevil will be titled Daredevil versus the Punisher.
That's pretty cool.
That I like.
Pretty jazzed. Pretty jazzed.
The title of the sequel to Guardians of the Galaxy was revealed by director James Gunn. And it will be called, drumroll please.
Hold on. And a spoiler bell.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Dirt is surprised.
What storyline are they using?
I think that's what they're doing. I think they're definitely trying to throw everyone off the scent.
Or trying to play into the whole volume cassette thing.
Music. That too.
Yeah, I think that's more.
That too.
Kevin Feige did some talking about characters in Civil War.
Is it Feige or Feige? I've heard both.
Feige, I've heard. Yeah. I probably said it wrong, knowing me. He talked about Black Panther's role, dismissed rumors about Kenneth Branagh directing Thor Ragnarok, and talked about Hulk in Civil War, along with James Gunn, I guess, saying how much he loves Runaways and would like a Runaways film made.
He and about a few hundred thousand other people, I'm sure.
Right.
Sandman and other Vertigo adaptations were moved from Warner Brothers to New Line because Warner Brothers is too tied up into the DC Comics movie lineup.
Okay.
Guess they didn't want any confusion.
And Guillermo del Toro is reportedly no longer on board Justice League Dark.
You know, there was going to be a Justice League Dark movie.
It's been in the discussion.
Works, yeah.
Stan Lee was hospitalized on Sunday, but makes the Ant-Man premiere.
Stan, still ticking.
Kicking and keeps on ticking. Is that the
Android battery still is not drained at all.
There's a video link to that article. Y'all should check out. Like, this is basically him at that preview that they live streamed. He had some thoughts about Ant-Man that I thought was interesting.
Speaking of Stan Lee.
Yeah, I was going to skip that.
Oh, really?
He approves of Tom Holland. What else is he going to say?
I don't know.
Who?
The guy who's
the actor they've cast playing Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Oh. Spider-Man. The young kid.
Megalyn Ichikokuwaki. Her wiki article, actually. Oh, no. Her Twitter account actually spelled it out phonetically for us.
Yeah, and I tried to do it. I didn't look at her Twitter. I went and looked it up somewhere. But it's
from CSI Miami.
Ichikokuwaki.
Ichikokuwaki, yeah.
It's cast as CW's, to voice cast, or do the voice for Vixen and the CW Seed.
Which is that soonish?
Or
is
probably.
That, I saw Fall and I saw Next Month. I was like, that can't be Next Month.
And all I need to know is, can I get CWC on my mobile device or Roku?
I'll probably Roku, but who knows?
I'm going to ask Twitter. Twitter knows the answers to everything.
Not always the right answers, but hey.
So that's the cinematic news. Now we're
we have a lot of comic news this week. A
lot of comic book news, which we'll probably skip around some of it. Witchblade is set to end in October.
Hold on.
Hey, it's a big deal to fans of Top Cow and Witchblade.
Yeah, both of them.
Oh, no.
No, I'm just joking.
Oh, no.
let's see. I'm skipping some stuff whenever we get to the main meat of the, at least the Marvel news. Sure. Comixology 4.0 update will be a social media platform.
How is that going to play? Oh, yeah, I guess it'll just be like linked to like Twitter and Facebook.
Well, no.
No, they're just
going to be like social media platforms.
Graphically had that when it originally launched, where basically you could leave comments on particular pages or about the comic book at the end, and then other people could reply to it and whatever. So you could have conversations with people about the book that you just finished reading. You log in the next day and see all the replies and whatever. So it's basically, if you think of it as the comic in your collection being like the Facebook post, then you can just go in and keep up on the conversations with other people.
All right.
Maybe it'll take off like Hubbub.
has that happened?
I'm like,
no, I need to. I've slacked the last couple of days of sharing my website posts on there. All right.
Or something.
Okay, I can talk about this now. Contest of Champions, the Marvel mobile game.
You know what? I forgot to take that out of there. Sorry. But yeah. we're going to end up talking about it anyway. So.
Yeah, I just want to, in case it didn't come up in discussion later on, I want to make sure people knew that. They haven't said if it's an ongoing or a limited series or if it takes place in Marvel continuity, but it was a part of the 45 issue or comics coming to all new, all different Marvel, so perhaps.
Yeah, I thought I saw something about ongoing, but I could be wrong. That title has never been an ongoing worthy, but I'm excited.
Yeah. Have you played the game?
Yeah, it's all right.
It's one of those tappy games.
You know? It's kind of like if you've played Injustice Gods Among Us, the mobile version. It's kind of got that swipe to fight. It's like you're fighting, but there's a kind of like a storyline going on because you're going through a stage and you're fighting, you know, one against each other, and you got like class bonuses and all that kind of good stuff, and ISO 8 and all that kind of good mess. So you just swipe and hit and hit and. It's all right.
Yeah, you swipe, you tap, you swipe, you tap. It's
until the other person dies.
Yeah.
And keep going.
It's like, God forbid, they force you to, like, go, you know, make a small circle to throw a fireball or something. You know? Anyway.
So, yeah, but it's pretty cool.
So now we can get to...
Bless you! Anyway, go on. Moving on.
Now we can get to Marvel's big information dump.
Yes, pre-4th of July.
Before it was spoiled online and leaked. The 45 new number one issues coming in the fall for all new, all different Marvel. So I thought this would be a good exercise for us to go through and pick three of the comics that we're looking forward to and three we're not looking forward to, just to give readers a sense of our different tastes, likes, and dislikes. Okay. And if they feel inclined to argue with us online over.
Rabble, rabble.
So, let's see. We'll put up our list here. Anyone like to start? I guess we can start with, do we want to start with least? Go through least? Or save that for last?
Yeah, sure. Go through least first.
All right.
Since it was my idea, I guess I'll go ahead and start us off.
Okay.
Let's see. First up, of course, is Carnage. Because I don't really care about Carnage anymore. He has had the limited series here and there the last couple of years, though. Next up is, I put Karnak, because I do like the character. I just never end up reading anything from Warren Ellis, so more than likely it'll be a skip for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to put Spider-Man 2099, because I fell off the previous volume of it.
Mm.
And... It's funny, I like Will Slaney's art in Fearless Defenders, but
yeah.
I don't know if he's like gone more digital with his work on Spider-Man 2099 or not, but I do like the new outfit for her. We assume it's the same Spider-Man 2099 in the suit, but
right. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So it's those Miles are... Morales' great 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 grandson.
Yeah.
Hey, you might as well go down that route. I have to reach it.
Right. So those are your three?
Those are my three.
All right. So let me follow up with my three. I can tell you that my absolutely, positively least looked forward to book that was announced in this Marvel, all new, all different free previews that came out this week, right, that was leaked a little early, was Venom Space Knight number one.
But that you have is to some, love that name, though.
That is some awful sauce, yo. That is awful. Awful.
We are never getting around Space Knight. Just get over it.
freaking Hasbro. Just come on, work it out. Don't send it to IDW. Anyway, the second least look forward to thing is a surprise. I am not looking forward to Hawkeye number one, Jeff Lemire and Ramon Perez.
Because all right, get off the show. Just get off the show.
Apparently there's old Hawkeye from the old man Logan reality going to be running around in this book. I'm like, okay, that's it. I'm done with Hawkeye stuff right now. And the third book I'm going to go with, I hate to say this, it's probably going to be Scarlet Witch. I'm just not that interested in the character right now.
Okay, who's next?
I'll go. I'll go with you, Tim, on the Carnage, because, yeah, whatever on that one. Second one will be, actually, wait. There's a couple of ways I want to kind of do a 1-2 on one of them, because there's Uncanny Avengers and Uncanny X-Men, because, I mean, that first volume of Uncanny Avengers kind of worked its way out of being not great.
Mm-hmm.
The second one hasn't been so great, and I'm
glad it's over.
Kind of shouldn't, you know, go by that, but at the same time, it's like they're good on them for trying to keep it up, but I don't see the necessity of this book. And Uncanny X-Men, that seems like that's kind of, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of how Uncanny X-Men is like X-Force now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm seriously considering just like not continuing my pretty much uninterrupted run of Uncanny X-Men from just pre-Dark Phoenix till now, because I'm not a fan of where this book is going.
Yeah.
But it didn't make my bottom three.
All right, well, I'm going to cheat for my bottom, because technically it's bottom two, but technically it's like six books. So any of the X-Men and any of the Avengers.
And we had you on New Avengers.
Well, Avengers is completely over for me now. Like, there's no reason for me to keep reading any of the Avengers books at all. Because what I liked about the Avengers books was the fact that they were all related and they were all working to one big culminating event, which is now Secret Wars, which means for these books, I don't care about the team dynamics. I don't care about half the characters that they're putting on the new teams. And, you know, like even right here, I'm looking at the new Avengers 1 book, and it's like, okay, Hawkeye's in it, and that's about all I care about in that lineup, you know.
And a jacked up Wiccan.
Yeah. Like I said, all I care about is the Hawkeye on that lineup.
Yeah, that one's a tougher sell.
But I mean, they all look that way. I was looking at all the different X-Men and all the different Avengers books, and I don't care.
Are we qualifying Ultimates as an Avengers book?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't see any reason why I'm going to want to read any of those books.
Mm-hmm.
So I went from being someone who, you know, was really into Avengers here for the last couple years to now being at the point where I may read the first one just because we're going to talk about it on the show, but then after that, probably won't follow through on any of these.
Okay.
Well, you know, and Avengers, if I remember correctly, was a hard sell for you anyway up until it got to a certain point, so... I guess that's not so surprising.
Yeah, once they started doing all the parallel Earth stuff is when I started paying a little more attention.
Right.
And then once they got deep into all the stories were interconnected, that's when I was really excited for it, because you were getting something, you know, like every other week.
Right, the payoff was really coming in.
Yeah, it was snowballing and steamrolling into something. And then now that that's over, just don't, you know, whatever.
Right.
Okay, so that's everyone's bottom three.
Hmm.
Okay, starts off with my top three, and there's jotted down
excuse me.
Seven but of course I'm only going to name three. So I tried to, some of them were by multiple writers, so I tried to pick like one a piece from those. So I've got Spider-Man, that's the Miles Morales Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've got Extraordinary X-Men, because I like me some X-Men, and I love what Jeff Lemire has done over the last couple years in comics. And surprise, surprise, Doctor Strange, off the strength of Jason Aaron.
Yeah.
Even though I despise magic. but you notice in the picture that Dirtus is playing here, he's got an axe. I got this big debate with some people online when the Doctor Strange series was announced. I was, because everyone knows I don't like magic, but I said, because you know, it's just like saying repeat chanting things and waving your fingers at people and stuff happens. But he's got an axe now, so he's actually gonna be fighting.
I love it.
So I mean, you think that the axe could very well be just a big wand.
And you might not swing a big wand.
A wand that can decapitate you.
Well, yeah. It can, but yeah.
So that's my top three.
All right. I'm still thinking about my top three. Rod, you want to go?
Sure. I'll go. First up, we have A-Force, because I'm thinking that I'm hoping they're going to keep up with the potential of that book. Mm-hmm. Doctor Strange, I'll co-sign that one, because it's been a long time since I've ever been interested in a Doctor Strange book. So there is that. And, well, since I've already talked about that, I won't bring up Conscious Champions, but Ultimates.
Okay. All right.
Because it's pretty much Mighty Avengers and on the galactic scale, I guess, assuming that's where I was
going to
go.
I'm going to go with my top three. I'm going to co-sign on Ultimates number one. I like this lineup. I honestly, to be perfectly honest, I'm very happy that the characters that they picked for this lineup do not include Luke Cage, because I felt like Luke Cage was kind of he needed to step aside as the leader of this Mighty Avengers type group.
Yeah, and when they were in battle, Monica was pretty much leading anyway.
Right, so I'm very much happy that he is not involved in this group, and I like the mix of characters in this.
Galactus being part of the team?
I was going to say, for whatever reason, Galactus, you know, I think what we're going to see is, you know, we have not really explored Blue Marvel's power level. I mean, he's not obviously Galactus level, but he's supposed to be a Superman analog. And, you know, to have someone with that kind of presupposing power on this team, and then have Galactus kind of, you know, show up when he's called, is an interesting premise.
Yeah. And the good thing about the way they did Blue Marvel, though, is because they haven't really been putting them on sentry levels.
True, true, true. And you notice that they ditched the cape, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How very 90s of them.
Exactly. Yeah, it's almost a leather jacket. My second one I'm also going to co-sign is Doctor Strange. I do like the way that book just looks and sounds so far. And before I get to my third one, I wanted to mention that I'm leaving out any of the books that are basically continuing unchanged. And I'm choosing, and I'm in terms of the top three that I'm choosing the ones that are basically taking a really new direction. And I think for my third one, I'm going to go with Totally Awesome Hulk number one, because I'm telling you, Eclectic, I had a quick debate with Eclectic on this. The title makes me smile.
So who do you think is...
It's Amadeus Cho. It's Amadeus Cho.
Does he have something special on his arm? Because I know
we don't know yet.
Someone was saying that that kind of works with Odin's son.
Right.
Ooh.
Right. That was. I think most people's first guess, but I think the faux hawk sold me on Amadeus Cho.
I forgot about Thor. Mm-hmm.
But with the arm thing, I mean, granted, it's Frank Cho's interpretation of it. But if you look at Odin's son's Uru bionic arm, it goes up higher than that on his arm. You know, it goes up past the elbow. But, you know, obviously with the Hulk transformation, it could, you know, things change a little bit. But I definitely see that. But I did give that some thought first.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm sorry to take that one apart.
All right. Well, I'm also going to go with Spider-Man number one, because I have enjoyed Miles Morales since his inception. So bringing him into the regular Marvel universe is something that does intrigue me. So I do look forward to that. I am looking forward to Old Man Logan. This is the creative team that worked on Green Arrow last year. And they did actually for 2 years, maybe, for a while anyway. And they did some really amazing stuff there. I liked the original Old Man Logan when it was, you know, published several years ago. So the fact that that's going to continue, I'm actually looking forward to that, which means I'm also looking forward to Hawkeye, if I can find the picture here. I've enjoyed the all-new Hawkeye, the Hawkeye series, and all-new Hawkeye for the last couple of years, and so now they're going to bring it in with the Old Man Logan version of Clint, apparently, and that's fine with me. I'll run with that.
Yeah, that's where kinda, they lose me.
Yeah, I'm also kind of torn because I like the team that's doing Iron Man with Bendis and Marquez. That's basically your Ultimate Spider-Man team. But at the same time, it's yet another Iron Man number one, and we've had like 30 of those in the last 5 years.
Agreed.
So another Iron Man relaunch is just kind of like, meh, but because of the team that's on it, I will at least give it a shot.
Right. I think it's in my it's in my pull list. It's just not the top three since we had to narrow it down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, everyone, for participating in that.
Hold on. One other thing I kind of want to mention about this list. I'm kind of, and maybe this is because the history of it for me, I kind of wish that the Vision and Scarlet book was like
a team up book.
It was them together.
Yeah, but this way they can sell you a crossover and make you buy two books.
True.
And I am actually interested in that Vision book because I'm becoming a Tom King fan.
Solid.
As we'll read later on.
I was about to say, by the way, I found it very interesting that Mark Guggenheim, who is like a big DC TV guy, is writing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
No, he's done Marvel. I mean, he's done Marvel recently. So.
I know, but I just think it's funny that, like he's actually doing the comic that's based on on that TV show.
I did think about that. I was like, huh, there's some interesting crossover there.
Is he working on a TV show now?
Not on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But...
No, he's doing the DC TV shows. He's doing Flash. Well, know, and...
Could he also be working on S.H.I.E.L.D.? I mean, probably it's by not. Network. I mean, it's not like the comic studios are going to have anything to say about it.
Yeah.
I think
it's always interesting because I'm sure he'll do the first arc and then someone else will take over just because he's so busy. That actually made my it was on my list of bottom three just because, no. All right. And to tie into the all-new, all-different Marvel releases, we also have news of departing creators who didn't appear in any of the solicited books. Rick Remender announced he's taken at least a year break from Marvel to work and focus on family and creator-owned endeavors. So he joins Kelly Sue DeConnick, Jonathan Hickman, and Kieran Gillen as saying bye-bye for now.
It sounds like they're all kind of burnt out from the lead-up to Age of Ultron and Secret Wars.
Wait, is Kieran Gillen leaving Darth Vader?
I don't believe so.
I think he's staying on for that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, and this gives everyone a clean break to get out of there if they wanted to.
What about all the Nathan Edmondson books, The Black Widow, Deathlock, and Punisher?
Well, we've got about 10 plus more books to be announced. So
it better be in there. I will boycott the Marvel. Well, no, I won't. I'll be very upset.
I would be very upset, too.
There's no Black Widow anywhere, so it's a safe bet that it'll be coming back. There may be a Black Panther on there, too.
Man, I was hoping that. I was wanting to see that.
So it's coming. It's just there being quiet.
Yeah.
Let's see. Tim Seeley brings Alice Cooper and Eva Ernie together for Dynamite. Voltron from the Ashes is coming to Dynamite Comics from Cullen Bunn.
All right.
I'm almost curious enough to try to read that. I was a big Voltron fan back in the day.
Yep.
Grant Morrison tells Santa Claus Year One and Claws. Okay. Boom Studios lands Power Rangers comic book license. That also piques my interest.
Yeah, with the movie coming, sure.
Okay.
Mike Mignola and Christopher Golden's Joe Golem is coming to comics from Dark Horse with artist Patrick Reynolds. A bunch of Secret Wars crossover tie-in books will be delayed because of delays on the main series.
Late, late, late.
Francis Manapul walks off to take the comics for something new.
Wish him well.
Hey, the Top Cow Talent Hunt returns for a few changes to the competition. I'll be reading this after the show.
Ha 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 ha.
Tess Fowler and Tamara Bonvillain join Rat Queen's art team.
Okay.
Another change. Dynamite announces the creator team for Aliens Vampirella. Thrillbent to serialize Terry Moore's Strangers in Paradise. And Dark Horse deploys Call of Duty Black Ops 3 comic book. Alyssa Milano's Hacktivist Volume 2 will launch July 29th.
Yay!
It's good to already.
That's right. What's up, Alyssa Milano?
Yeah, we're supposed to be trying to get her on the show, aren't we?
That's right.
They're working on that. And finally, for comic news, we'll end with today's Image Expo. Who here kept up with the expo?
I was checking it out back and forth while I was still up.
I'm looking at the pulling up a list here. I was out shopping during the expo, but I was keeping up with a site's live blog. And I have to admit, a lot of the concepts and pitches for a lot of these series caught my attention, made me jealous that some of the stuff I hadn't thought of myself.
Yeah, there was one I was slightly interested in, even though I have no care for the subject. There's Joe Keating's working on that Ringside book.
Yeah,
that's cool. About wrestling or something.
I suppose there haven't been more wrestling related comic books.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to that one. That's one of the few that caught my attention.
So Mark Millar is not working with Scotty Young on Hook. It is Rafael Albuquerque or Albuquerque. And then seeing the reboot for Invincible just reminds me of, man, I need to get caught up. Only 100 more issues to go.
Oh, no.
It'll take you an hour.
But, yeah, we won't go through the whole announcement. But I did put out the call to Twitter to ask if anyone had any of the announcements that they were looking forward to. And a follower of mine, Franco0710, said, so many amazing announcements, but Black Magic, the goddamned Heartless, and Huck. So. We will be checking those out, and I'm sure there'll be more news for us to bring up on the show in the coming weeks and months ahead.
Yeah, I think Faster Than Light for me and the Codename Babushka were kind of interesting.
But yeah, like I said, I don't remember all of them by hand, and I won't take the time to scroll through this whole
article. I'm just looking at the list right now, yeah.
But yeah, a lot of the synopsis for the series caught my attention. So.
One other thing before we move on, and this was from last week, but I figured I might as well mention it. The digital service Hoopla, which is basically the library lending for digital side, has DC books. I think that's mostly a lot of trades. I'm not sure what exactly, but they got a bunch of trades. Oh, actually, here's the list right here. I'm gonna pull this up real quick. So if you have a library card...
The title of Codename Babushka is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Codename Babushka, the Conclave of Death. Really? That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So if you have a library card and the Hoopla digital app, here's a list of some of the books that you can check out in the library. So you got Justice League, you got Killing Joke, you got Dark Knight Returns, you got Hush, Watchmen, you know, a few other things. So go check that out if you are so inclined.
Cool. All
right. Can anyone tell me
what's going on in this image? This picture here. This is one of the announcements from Image Expo.
That's The Walking Dead, right?
It's The Walking Dead, but it's the last crossover you ever expected.
It's
Brian K. Vaughan. Brian K. Vaughan and Marcos Martin's The Walking Dead digital comic.
Okay.
And it's got this person in a white robe with a face drawn on the back of their robe walking away from the zombies. I'm not sure.
It looks towards.
Well, but the face is like drawn on the back of their robe as they're walking away while the zombies are walking towards you. So it's some character from something else from Brian K. Vaughan, but
right.
I'm not sure who that character is.
Yep. Then
it's Why the Last Man.
I guess if I was a reader of either Panel Syndicate or Walking Dead, it would make more sense to me.
Not necessarily.
Because you read one of them and you're confused.
I was going to say, maybe it's Invincible. He's just cloaked.
All right. Do we want to go through the variant corner, Roddy?
There is actually a couple of them I wanted to bring up. Let's see. There's the best art ever this week for Black Panther. There's a lot of good stuff in there. I'll just do this little quick scroll. Pip. Which, yeah, they did this nice little nasty screenshot thing I totally forgot about, so never mind that. outside of that, we have the Southern Bastards. The Southern Bastards cover that came when the whole Confederate flag coming down thing here in South Carolina got brought up. And whoops, I was supposed to share that. Boop. There's that. So, and I think there was it. Yo, there was the Alex Ross cover.
Yeah, he's doing a part two to that that image, the image of Joker and Harley Quinn doing their little dance and Batman stepping in.
Yep, here we go right here.
There you go.
And that's about it. Everything else you can check out at your leisure.
Awesome.
Cool. All right. Let's see. For you, the listeners of Comic Book Chronicles, Audibles is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Let's see. We have examples such as The Best in the World at What I Have No Idea by Chris Jericho. The King of New Orleans, How the Junkyard Dog Became Professional Wrestling's First Black Superhero by Greg Klein. And Jurassic Park 25th Anniversary Edition by Michael Crichton.
I was about to say, you didn't go for a wrestling trifecta?
Nah. And you can download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/comicbookchronicles. Again, that's audibletrial.com/comicbookchronicles for your free audiobook.
Yeah!
Whee! Oh, hey, before we start doing book reviews, I just wanted to mention this, and this time I actually will do this. But I got this book box in the mail. Probably going to do something with it. I hear there's some good stuff in here. I don't know. Got this nice
cool. Mold. Who's giving that away?
No, that's not a giveaway. It's that collector's it's one of those boxes that people do every month, but this they Marvel and Collector's Core with Funko does that like every 3 months.
Cool.
So that's the Ant-Man one because
get some cool stuff in there.
Yeah, I hear there's a movie coming out.
Yeah, we may not be holding up the Comic Book Chronicles to go watch it, but you know we'll watch it.
Yeah. We shall see.
All right. So, who wants to lead with the first book?
Oh, let's see. Secret Wars, good place to start.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sounds good.
So,
I don't know, Tim. You tell me. Is Secret Wars a good place to start?
It's the big event book of the summer, so why not? It's the whole reason for 45 new number ones.
Yeah.
You mean Flashpoint?
Oh no!
So some talking points I jotted down was that we learned more knowledge regarding the workings of Battleworld. Sheriff Strange gave more details about what all Doom did prior to Battleworld and making Battleworld. Saw a throwdown between the Cabal and Thors, and confrontation between God Doom and Reed Richards.
Go figure.
Who don't even recall Mr. Fantastic anymore. He's just Reed Richards.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, ever since they kind of went down this whole Illuminati path, they've only ever called him Reed or Reed Richards, so...
Yeah.
You know? But I wanted to mention just very quickly that I was fascinated by some of the things that Strange mentions towards the end of the story where he's basically criticizing what Doom has done and how, you know, he's basically calling Doom to task for what he did and what he created for himself. And basically, a little bit of a spoiler alert for people who are still waiting to read Secret Wars number 4. He basically usurps very large portions of Reed Richards' life and steps into his place. Mm. And I thought that was, even though it's obvious to us, you know, having read previews and having read the first three and now the fourth issues, it's interesting to see an actual character within the story call Doom out on that. And to just sort of reframe the rivalry and reframe the relationship between Reed Richards and Victor Von Doom.
Right, because it has come up. I mean, Strange has brought things up, but he just never
put it like this.
Just to put it out, yeah, to kind of put it like this. So,
I just kind of felt like a lot of the development in this particular issue could have taken place in half the book, and it just seems like not really that much exciting new reveals happened or anything. You know, we've had some big things happen in the last couple of issues, and this is the one where it just kind of slows down a little bit.
I was about to say, this is the one where people die. That's what it is.
Yeah, I was about to say, the body
count. I was reading the spoiler buff for that, because this is the one where people die. This is the one where...
We assume they die.
I think that
one was pretty definite.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is, I think now we start to see how post-Secret Wars reality is going to take shape, and which characters are actually going to help populate that world. And we start to see some of the more, it's kind of tough to see, the most recent incarnation of the adult Cyclops, bite the bullet so hard in this one and so quickly, after all the crap that he's gone through and all the stuff that we saw that character go through the last few years post Phoenix stuff and the death of Charles Xavier, and to see it go down like that, and to just see all that story just kind of written off, in a couple of panels, well, it's tough to see that happen to the character. But now we see why maybe that's not going to play. He's not going to play much of a role in the new, all different Marvel.
Yeah, Doom just did what a bunch of people been wanting to do to Cyclops. So
yeah,
I mean, given how we still don't know where he got a Phoenix egg from and how he hasn't really done anything in Secret Wars.
No, the Phoenix egg, that was actually within the continuity. Pre-Secret Wars continuity.
Right, but where did it come from? I mean, was it after...
Well, how did he get it there?
Did he get it after AVX? Or?
Yeah. It was in the Uncanny book. I forget how it happened because it's so hard to read at that point,
I'm going to say, I've read Uncanny, and I don't remember him having a Phoenix egg, ever.
It came up very quickly, I think. I think it was a contrived story to I guess, give him like a nice little send-off here in Secret Wars, but that's a story for another day.
Okay.
So did anybody read into that? So there was a panel that right before Doom and Strange started really talking, when Doom kind of was sending people away. I mean, not Doom, just Strange was sending people away. That one panel with him and T'Challa, was that just... Did anybody think that meant anything, or is just there happens like, hey, he was happened to be behind him and that happened?
No, he's talking straight to him.
Yeah.
He's talking straight to him. He was telling him,
controlling Doom? Isn't that what was going on?
No.
It was hard to tell.
The gestures that Doom was doing.
Right, but I think he was starting an incantation. That's kind of what that part was about. But I mean, because of the fact that he was starting to talk to Doom and everybody else was there, and then Strange did what he did, and T'Challa just happened to be back there because he was asking him what are you doing? I don't know if there was something behind something else to that, or that was just like, hey, just remember what's up.
It looked like he was reaching out, as Doom was reaching out for his neck, and then he puts his arm up at the same time Doom is lifting Cyclops up into the air. It just looked like he was doing the same thing Doom was doing, almost like he was in control of him.
Right.
I thought the same thing, but I wasn't sure, and I'm willing to err on the side of what Roddy's thinking.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's part of the whole magic, casting magic, and right. He's talking to Black Panther, and he's telling him, remember what's going on here right now before he sends them away.
Right.
It's
just one of those things where it's not clear, and right. I kind of wish there was another maybe layer of editorial looking at that.
Mm-hmm. And given how the book ended, it still could some kind of way kind of filter into that, but if Strange was in control of Doom, the book may or not have ended the way it did, unless that's a part of a bigger plot,
Right.
And there's a Beyond Earth back there controlling.
Strike me down, I will come back stronger.
Exactly, yes. Exactly. And more spoilers. You guys see what's in the? I didn't realize this when we were looking at some of the preview covers for the next issue, but I certainly see a wavy-haired '80s garbed character hidden into that image, right?
Oh.
What?
You don't see that? We actually all saw the image.
The next cover, the next issue's cover.
Oh, the.
The Doom, white. The half Doom.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
And he's got a funky brown, almost a Jerry Curl type haircut.
Right. It was Secret Wars 2 era.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So yeah, you kind of expect it because they've been kind of hinting, making hints to where they never did say what actually happened during that battle, and even though they kind of alluded to, you know, the end point,
right?
But they never really went into what actually happened in that last battle before Secret Wars on that front. So you kind of figure there was something else going on,
right? And the Beyonders are sure to make another appearance. So
mm-hmm. And it's probably gonna be like Secret Wars 1 again,
right?
If Doom is all knowing and his guy, shouldn't he just be able to look and see where?
Well, he's not all knowing though. He's all powerful, but he's not all knowing.
I'm omnipotent.
That's why Strange was the one kind of going around trying to make sure everything was straight. And was like, hey, you might want to pay attention to some of this. He's like, nah,
it's got that.
Yeah.
Next up.
Hey, Agent 70, is it time to get live?
That is a clear reference to 90s hip-hop act Onyx. this week, there was a book called titled Onyx Number 1. I'm going to pull it up now because I didn't have a chance to write any notes on it, but I can tell you some of my impressions. Onyx Number 1 is by, as I wait for this.
Chris Ryle?
It's an IDW book. Chris Ryle?
Yeah, he's the head of IDW, isn't he?
Huh. Okay. And Gabriel Rodriguez, those are the creators and storytellers. And I don't know if Chris Ryle is the head of IDW, but I can definitely see how he can get something like this pushed through if that's the case, you know.
He's the chief creative officer and editor in chief of IDW Publishing.
Oh, there you go. Oh.
So if you enjoy, hopefully if this is a positive review, we can tweet him the YouTube link so he goes back and watches it.
Sure. Well, it is a positive review. I like this book. The art was pretty much what sold me on this because it's got a very it's got a neo futuristic look. You know, it's very near future tech. You know, the art is very detailed and. Some of the panel layouts, especially when it comes down to what's going on in the middle of it's not a plane, I guess it's a helicopter. It's a helicopter crash as a military team goes down in the middle of a fight with mutated animals, and there's some kind of unique panel layouts there that make for interesting reading. Basically involves alien. It's actually, you know what's funny? Now that I think about it, it's very Rum Space Knight-esque. It involves an alien super soldier, basically, who arrives on Earth to combat what are spores that are infecting the planet and infecting the living beings, including the flora and the animals on that planet, and basically consuming and destroying them. It's very much like Rom Space Knight and the Dire Wraiths. Anyone who has read Rom Space Knight will agree that this sounds very familiar. Obviously the character Onyx is the Rom parallel, and he runs into groups of humans who aren't very trusting of him because, look, it's a gleaming alien from space who's basically armed to the teeth. And, it's a lot of trying to figure out how, where this goes from here, because there's a parallel plot with a government project that they're trying to keep secret, that this particular military group is trying to keep secret while this alien being is trying to help save humanity from this alien spore. So there's a mystery afoot in addition to the action of trying to defeat the alien invader per se. So it was an interesting first issue. I think what really sold me was the art. The story was kind of familiar, but at the same time, I like the little twists involved. The cast is very multi-culti. You know, one of the main characters is a Filipina, you know, Filipino female, and you know, I like that. That's on the unique side. You know, all in all, this was a very good, solid first issue. Anyone who is kind of fiending like me for a good ROM Space Knight analog, you know, pick this up. Onyx number one from IDW.
And by the way, I know I butchered that reference earlier, so don't, no emails.
No, don't worry about it. We're not rappers here. We're not rappers here. I can't speak for Roddy, but my flow is not very good, so.
Yeah. Garbage here. No.
What you got for us, Dirt?
Comics. let's see here. Let's go back to some DC and Bizarro. Bizarro number
Bizarro.
Two.
Bizarro! I had fun reading this.
Yeah, and another fun issue, although this one was a little uneven. It was weird because the first issue was this one story of them going on a road trip and going to Smallville and getting stuck with this used car dealer with these superpowers. Mm-hmm. And then this issue picks up that story, ends that story about halfway through, has a couple pages of just random stuff with them in different towns, and then starts up what looks like is going to be the continuation going into issue 3. So you got like this weird mix of stuff mashed together to fill up this issue. It was all entertaining.
Right, a couple splash pages too to really fill up the issue.
Yeah, but it was just kind of weird the way it was just broken up and a little uneven. But it was still a lot of fun. It's definitely one that I read and the kids read that we can all enjoy. And so, yeah, Bizarro number two was a good book, worth the read, worth sticking with. Just a little weird in the way it was laid out this month.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I definitely also ran into that kind of disjointed story because I thought it was weird that we would get a title splash page right in the middle of the book.
Yeah.
You know, like the introduction and the credits and all that stuff. That was very, very weird. I also thought that the way that they took care of the first story, the first story plot involving King Tut and the mind control with the Chupacabra, Colin, was kind of weird. It's like, wait, what did Colin do to brainwash these people? I thought that was kind of left to the imagination.
It's hard for you to focus on the hypnotism that's controlling your brain when there's a chupacabra running up and down your body. I mean, I guess that's what it really comes down to. You lose your focus. The one thing that did stand out to me was that they got guest artists to come in, and the splash pages that they did, there's one with Batman.
And Kelly Jones.
And yeah, Kelly Jones did the artwork. The one with the Flash was Manipal did the artwork. Mm-hmm. So they brought in those guest artists to do those pinups, and the pinups are actually really nice. Like, I wish at some point in the future that they release those as posters or mini posters or something, because I would love the one of Bizarro accidentally clotheslining Flash as he's speeding down the street, and you know, those were very entertaining. So
yeah, I like the Batman one because it was nice to see Kelly Jones back on Batman, even though his Batman's not for everybody.
Yeah, it's definitely a unique style.
You know, his Batman's not for everybody, but I also like the fact that it involves Bizarro and Colin the Chupacabra.
Also read Detective. Anybody read Detective?
Nay.
Nope.
I really have been enjoying Detective the last couple months. The focus is less on Commissioner Gordon as Batman and more on Harvey Bullock and the Gotham City PD, which for fans of GCPD, they'll see a lot of returning characters from that series. You see a lot more of like the locker room level type conversations going on, the briefings and whatever. Plus, Harvey Bullock has a girlfriend, which is just weird.
Yeah.
But
I can't imagine an animated series Harvey Bullock having a girlfriend, but anyway.
When they do these weird stories where you've got Jim Gordon as Batman in a big robotic suit, you do kind of get these weird questions in the back of your mind, like, well, why would the police allow this to go on, and how exactly does that work with spreading the blame and whatever, and this is the book that answers those questions. Like, why do the police allow this to happen? Well, because they're involved. They're part of the process. And they have the cleanup teams that go in and they're picking up the rubble and putting it in trucks and driving it away and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So the nuts and bolts of the story are here, along with, again, that kind of street-level cop, you know, talking about the job, like what it's like for police in a world where superheroes exist. That's the story that you're getting here, and I've just found it very entertaining.
Yeah, I like that cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's the Flash team, so...
Yeah.
Even though apparently they're moving on soon. Also, action.
Yeah.
This, I don't know, I felt that this is a little uneven. I didn't like this quite as
much. I like this book, but it read a little choppy. I see where you can say that it was uneven, because it did read. There was a lot of, like, jump cuts, you know, like cutting from scene to scene.
Well, and also, I just felt like the police were written very poorly. Like, there was the one guy who definitely had a grudge, and he was out there to prove something. But then everyone else on the team, they're all just kind of standing around, and, like, one guy accidentally shoots off his tear gas, like, just like a bumbling Marx Brothers character or something. I don't know. It just, none of it really made sense, and especially when, you know, police officers, of course, they're taught to, you know, follow the chain of command, but they do often, if they're you know, commander is just going crazy and yelling and making threats or whatever, then they, you know, kind of back off or get between him and whoever they're yelling at. And so it was just, it just wasn't very well executed, even though I understood the idea of here's this guy going, hey, every time you show up, a giant monster appears, or a Brainiac kills somebody and tries to steal a neighborhood, or... You know, every time you punch something, we're picking up bricks and dead bodies out of office buildings. You know, so I kind of understand that aspect of coming at the character. I just didn't think it was executed very well in this issue.
I see that. That's a fair point.
I had it up there for my click of the week.
Nice. The other end of the spectrum.
I enjoyed the back and forth with the police and the I guess, what do you call them, Kent, Bill? Citizens of Kentville.
Yeah.
And then you also had the one guy, the one protester guy who's like, I'm gonna beat them all. It's like, no, sit down. Okay, I'm gonna sit down. No, I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna beat them all. No, sit down. Okay, I'm gonna sit down. Just like, come on, dude.
I enjoyed, there's some great panels by Cooter and Aaron Cooter and who else, whoever else was with the colors, who I can't think of right now.
High five.
And Blonde. And to me, I like, Murray, I'm sorry.
I like the, who's it, the fire woman?
Mm-hmm.
Is she a brand new character?
I don't know.
She may have been one of those characters that briefly appeared for a panel or two, you know, walking through the neighborhood or something, but not anyone that I don't think was of any consequence before this.
Mm-hmm. And then the damage that Clark was taking in was brutal. At the end, from the police hit squad, he was beaten and battered, and
yeah.
You know, there was that one scene with, like, the close-up of him with the chains on his shoulders. Mm-hmm. That was a great...
I enjoyed more than I disliked about it, you know? It was still, overall, more of a positive than a negative. I just felt that there, you know, were some structural issues in the story, and the characterizations of a couple people just could have been a little better.
Well, I mean, I think what lost me was... I think maybe what I'm sort of remembering is some of the fight with the sludge monster... And I just wasn't keen on how a lot of that was kind of laid out and, you know, just the action. I mean, it was a pretty simple fight now that I look back on it, but I kind of got lost in the layouts and how to reading the story. You know, I kind of take back what I said earlier about the jump cuts. I may be misremembering this now that I look at it, because this definitely felt very in the now dealing with police and protesters. And I thought, you know, at least in terms of the layout and reading it from panel to panel, I thought that was pretty well done. I thought it was a little heavy-handed with the police. But we know that this lead police officer has an agenda, maybe, you know, either under control or maybe, you know, a plant, because I think that was laid out in the previous issue.
Hmm.
So I know, you know, I know that, you know, that leads directly from the previous issue into this issue. So that's no big surprise.
I guess you could say, you know, if someone is trying to orchestrate this and perhaps they, you know, rig the tear gas gun to go off by remote instead of the guy actually shooting it, you know, mm-hmm. you could maybe get a Baldy or a no prize if you could figure out some of these aspects of the story. But without those being there, it just seemed a little beyond the realm of believability or, you know, allowing yourself to kind of go with the story. But anyway, like I said, more positive than negative, but if you want to get into those nitpicks, I still had them there. I did not read Green Lantern or Green Arrow or Omega Men, even though they're all on the list to get to eventually.
I read Omega Men.
Which thing?
It's definitely a political action thriller series. This one made a lot more sense than the first issue, because we get some resolution with the whole Kyle Rayner thing.
Obviously a fake out, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Spoiler.
Oh, spoiler. Sorry. Fake out, that's what it was.
Yeah, he's alive, just ringless. But yeah, so I'm still trying to understand everything going on with whatever planet they're on with the Omega, all the references to Alpha and Omega, and who the Viceroy. There's something going on with, like, the Viceroy visits this planet, and I forget the other guy that meets him, and they're like, not debating, but they're trying to work out a compromise. Like, some of the Viceroy's men are dead, so that person has to, like, he wants a retribution, so, like, for every one of his soldiers, like, 100 men must die, and they're, like, working out the number to, like, how many thousands it's supposed to be. And, like, while all this is going on, the Omega Men still the Viceroy's ship, which is, of course, shaped like the Omega sign. And they're trying to recruit Kyle Rayner onto their side. So I am still intrigued. Like I said, the story is slowly starting to make more sense. So hopefully 3 will continue that.
Okay.
And, yeah, Green Lantern, Green Arrow, I'll get to at some point.
Although I did like these Teen Titans Go variant covers that they made for the top DC books. If you ever wanted to see Doomsday and Superman just sharing a slushy while the world burns behind them, this is your month for grabbing those variants.
That's funny.
Nice.
Let's see. Back over on Marvel, what about Darth Vader?
Ah, yes. Good.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Darth Vader number 7. It was pretty good. This was an interesting book. I was thinking there was something that was going to happen in this issue for some strange reason that didn't happen, but I see what they were alluding to, and I appreciate every bit of it. So here we have Vader back on Tatooine. He knows who blew up the Death Star. You see him kind of going through the family's, or Luke's family's, I should say. Well, I mean, we all know whose family it is, but regardless, we all where Luke was at the beginning of Star Wars A New Hope, and quickly does a little bit of CSI using the Force, and then just leaves and disposes of the evidence for whatever odd reason.
And then we find...
Yeah, and then we cut to him going on another mission for what I assume to be for the Empire, you know, with some Rodian and some stuff that he, whatever that was going on over there, but he basically ended up being a cop and doing a bust on this Rodian that, as you would imagine, with Darth Vader in charge, kind of worked out for him. So, and then at the end of the book, we see Aphra and Bosk and a couple of droids and a Wookiee, which probably could be a setup to a joke. I don't know. And again, a cantina talking about doing a heist. So we don't know.
Is that a setup? Is she planted there to lure them in, or is she actually?
See, that's the thing. You don't know, because you don't see anyone else talking. You just see, you know, Vader coming from his thing, and then it just cuts to this, and it's like, well, is she doing this for herself? Is she doing this for Vader on the low? Which I'm assuming that's what it is, because now that I think about it, I remember something that was said earlier in the issue when they were at the uncle's and aunt's place. So Owen and Bruce place. Well, so we can kind of assume that this is probably something for Vader on the low, that he's trying to, he's still on his mission to amass his ill-gotten gains for himself.
Mm-hmm. Right, because there's money involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
There's some, you know, basically this is Vader trying to lace his coffers, and there is some double dealing going on.
Yeah.
Possible backstabbing. We'll leave it at that, without spoiling too much. I like this issue. It was good, and it was nice that the character Aphra has another side to her.
It was entertaining. I don't think you really got any big, huge revelations like you got last issue, but sure, it was still entertaining.
Yeah, no, this is pretty much as well. I know what I need to do now, so I'm just going to continue doing what I'm doing here, and I guess leave that for someplace else or whatever. I don't know.
All right, so what about Leia? Did anybody read that one?
I did.
I read Leia. Yes, this is the last book of the miniseries. We find her in, I can't remember what planet it was, but she had got herself captured, but it was all a part of a plot because she got away. And this book kind of ended like you expected. It's kind of, it was like, all right, she went on her mission to get all of her people from Alderaan, and then there was a couple of altercations here and there. There was a spy in the midst that got cleaned up. You know, the last people on this one planet that she's coming from wasn't trying to go with her, but all of a sudden, because this other thing happened, you know, all of a sudden they're with her thanks to R2, who was always saving the day. So, and then it just ends with her going back to the fleet, to the rebels.
Just right. This was like a nice little interlude. Yeah, I was about to say, this was a nice little interlude kind of in between events that we know, because this is definitely between the events of New Hope and Empire.
Right.
So, you know, and it slots right into that.
Mm-hmm. I kind of appreciated that she had her Independence Day moment.
Yes.
Right, because there was a battle that was about to happen, and she knew that there wasn't much going to...
We will not go quietly into the night. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah. So, it was a pretty good... it was a pretty decent read. Now we got Lando next week, so... let's see. Let me bring up another one, unless somebody else got something to say about it.
Go for it.
I'll take this. No. We Stand on Guard, number one.
I read this.
So stop me if you've heard this one. The U.S. invades Canada, and then we
cut to about
we cut to about 100 years or so later on, where we have a ragtag group of resistance fighters.
Blame Canada. Anyway, go on.
Red Dawn, if you will,
right.
fighting the good fight, but we find this other new character that comes in who just happens to be walk into the fray, let's say. Who's on their own, and into a battle that happens with a giant mech and some deaths. I'm enjoying it. Oh, and there's a Superman shout out in there because, as we all know, Superman's Canadian.
Ah, I thought that was funny that they actually spent a good two panels dealing with that.
Yeah. Yeah, because Ogre comes in and is like, hey, why do you have that on your basically if you didn't know? Well, yeah, one of the characters has a Superman tattoo on his arm, and one of the characters was like, "What? Why do you even have that?" And then the character just kind of broke it down. And was like, "Yeah, it's right. Canadian."
One of the things I really liked about this, and I give Steve Scrooge, who's done, you know, other, you know, like main company comic book in the past, but his art on this is super refined. Mm-hmm. The art on this was very, very strong.
Yeah, and it's a Brian K. Vaughan joint. So if you've read kind of most, some of his other books, he has a certain proclivity that he puts into his books.
Yeah. So, but you know, I think what really sold me on this was, you know, a mix of, you know, Vaughn's storytelling and Scrooge's art. You know, it's really, really solid.
Yeah. So I will be checking his book out more. It's a potential click of the week. Go ahead.
You know, again, kind of, you know, it's similar to Onyx number one in the sense that, you know, it depicts very, very near future tech and very, very near future things in a very realistic way. And, you know, I give the artists a lot of credit on those two books for really selling me on, you know, possibly, you know, picking up a second issue because of how strong the art was.
Yeah. And you can brush up on your French if you are so inclined, because there's a character in here
I saw that. I was actually kind of annoyed at that because my high school French is so rusty.
Yeah, I know.
And I only understood, like, you know, I got the gist of most of what that character was saying, but I missed out on a lot. And, you know, God forbid I use Google Translate, you know, while I'm reading this on the train, right?
I had intended to do that, but I was like, yeah, you know what, I'll come back to this.
All right, cool. Did anyone read Red Skull number one?
Yeah.
Yes.
I liked it.
Me too.
So,
I liked watching Marvel's Suicide Squad going.
You know what? You just blew my opening line. Thank you very much, Dirt. This is Marvel's Suicide Squad. Instead of Amanda Waller, we have Crossbones acting in the Amanda Waller.
Very sarcastic. Crossbones.
Yes, yes. And what's funny is that, you know, the goal of this version of the Suicide Squad is to go after the Red Skull that has I guess Doom in his infinite wisdom decided to keep. Like, seriously, Doom, you wanted to keep the Red Skull of all people, you know? So there's some friction between Doom and the Red Skull, because the Red Skull decides to at some point start an uprising that Doom has to squash, and Doom has to now kind of eradicate the thought of Red Skull and what he might inspire. So that's what this version of the Suicide Squad is meant to do, is meant to kind of make sure that the Skull is dead and to, you know, kill off any resistance that might be sympathetic to the Red Skull. And what's funny is that this group is dropped into the Deadlands, and that's where the Marvel Zombies and the Age of Ultron are. And they, you know, spoiler alert, it doesn't end well for them. I thought that was pretty interesting to watch. I was like, wow, what the hell is going on? And then we get to the final splash page, which I will not spoil, but you know, it made it worthwhile. I think it was that last page that made me want to pick up the next issue.
Yeah, I'm definitely intrigued by it. I enjoyed it a lot more than I expected. I actually expected that I would hate it and give up after a couple pages, but instead I found that I really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
Here's a question. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it makes me interested in the Illuminati book from Josh Williamson for all new, all different Marvel.
Yeah. I was just going to ask, I probably already have the answer to this. Red Skull in this is not inverted. This is just plain old.
We only see him at the end, so.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
Oh, okay.
That's a good question. I hadn't thought of that.
He was inverted?
Yeah, but he was inverted, but he also, his name, actually, he was like the White Skull or something, or Gray Skull or something like that. Or
God, I don't even remember Axis at this point.
But, yeah.
I remember how horrible it was.
Oh, go away, Remender, stay away for a while, please. You need a break.
So I don't know if this was, and I can't remember what happened, whether he switched with everybody else or he got away like some people did, or you know, they just dropped that ball. Yeah, okay, I'm curious. I had to check this out.
It's a good point that you bring up, though.
Well, although it is a whole new reality, so.
Yeah.
And this could be Red Skull from Earth 91654.
That's also true. You're right.
90210.
Oh!
Somebody write Red Skull 90210. Somebody write that.
Don't give them ideas. They'll do that for
you. Did that. You did that.
The Red Skull 902. It won't be the Peach Pit. What would it be? Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, let's not. That was the Dark Road.
Oh, no. It won't be the Peach Pit. It'll be
that's an era of sanity you won't get back after that.
All right. Let's see. What else did you guys read? We already covered a lot of stuff.
Yeah, which is good.
Yeah.
Did anybody read these X-Men books, The Extinction Agenda?
I tried.
Nope.
I didn't want to list it. I read Extinction Agenda. The art was pretty good, but I don't care about the story anymore. I'm taking it off my pull list because it's not going anywhere and it's not doing much to kind of tie into the greater Secret War story, whereas I think some of these crossover books actually do kind of tie into the greater Secret War story.
I think at least
Convergence was the same way. Convergence was the same way, where you had some books that were leading you towards the ending of the crossover, whereas other books were just, hey, here's a chance to show these characters again.
Right, and I'm not looking forward to reading the rest of this, so off the pull list it comes.
Mm.
Or goes. A-Force number 2.
Sure.
Enjoyed it.
This I enjoyed. And this actually led sort of, you know, like it, this had elements of the crossover in it. And it made me want to understand how they fit into the grand scheme of things. So I'll leave it at that. Go ahead, Tim.
You said what I was going to say.
Oh, okay. I thought I was keeping it as simple as possible.
And
yeah. I was going to say how I like how it ties into sort of the greater Secret Wars, more Battle World.
Right.
Region, right. Domains, and crossing borders.
And it seems to introduce a new character.
Yes.
Which is cool.
Who popped up last issue.
I always hate these mystery characters that will probably be super powerful, but then like just stand around and don't do anything. Like, I feel like jumping to a different series, like when Hickman brought in, who's it, the Miss Universe or
Captain Universe?
Captain Universe and right. Star Brand and Night Mask. What did they do in Secret? What happened with them at the end of Avengers and New Avengers?
That's just it. Captain Universe, Nightmask.
Oh, yeah. Well, I felt like
they died because they were with Doom and because they had went on that mission.
Right.
Nightmask.
But I think they played over a role.
They Benjamin Buttoned him. So.
Yeah. But didn't they play more of a role in Infinity? Because Starbrand was the planet defense system, and Nightmask was sort of helping him get to that point of realizing that he's the planet defense system and dealing with Captain Universe. And obviously Captain Universe dealt with like the whole Secret Wars and infringing on another, you know, they're kind of crossing over into each other and destroying realities. So that's where Captain Universe came in. But I think that those characters were introduced to kind of take us from where Hickman starts through all those big stories up to Secret Wars.
Right. So, even leading up to Secret Wars, like Captain Universe had pretty much been gone. Matter of fact, she showed up in a panel up in like what that last New Avengers book before Cap and Tony started fighting.
Yeah, they gave her like a new.
Yeah, she was like identity. There. Mm-hmm. Well, no, it was her old. It was actually her actual identity, but you know, I think she was because the thing with her during that moment, she was kind of having like a split identity thing. So she was kind of this one person, but she really didn't know she was transforming into or Captain Universe or something like that. I can't remember. But there was like a dual personality thing seemed to be going on, or she was having memory lapses or something was going on there with her. But with this new character, I was thinking that was in some kind of way Captain Universe, Captain version, like a version of her. But there's no telling because we really don't get too much on him, you know, her at this point. And I kind of wonder, it's like, well, she's a character that's made up of stars, and there has been a running theme going through a couple of the books already about people kind of questioning things. So I'm kind of wondering if that's all going to play together, or it's probably going to be nothing. Who knows?
Right. But overall, I like this book. I like that. I like the way some of the characters are interacting. It's cool to see some of these characters take center stage on an Avengers team, and knowing now that A-Force continues into the all-new, all-different Marvel, I'm really interested to see how the team dynamic continues.
Right. And I assume that cover is kind of an allusion to an older cover, because I know it feels like I've seen that somewhere before.
You mean the one or that version of it is showing?
Yeah.
The scale of justice being tilted while something falls off?
Yeah. Hmm. Like, it seems kind of familiar, but I can't really place it. I don't know.
Oh, like it's an homage to something?
Right.
Is there anything written on the cover? Like a homage to, like, after somebody?
No.
Okay.
Like, it could be just me thinking that, and it's not, but it just seemed familiar. But otherwise, could be good read. Another potential candidate.
Okay. All right. I think we're getting down to...
Actually, there's one more I'd like to discuss here. Ultimate End, number 3.
I couldn't make my way through this, Dirt. Tell us about it.
Oh, come on.
Isn't that next issue supposed to be the one that reveals everything, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
This one you got the Punisher killing the Punisher, which was fun. You had Iron Man talking to Iron Man. You had a Hulk and a Hulk. You had Iron Man helping a Hulk. This is the one book, for people that aren't following, where the characters from the Ultimate Universe and the characters, the New York-based characters of the regular Marvel Universe, are stuck together in the same Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ultimate characters, the only way you can really tell a bunch of them apart is the Ultimate books were always lettered differently. So they had capital letters at the beginning of the sentence, but then the rest were lowercase, like actual handwriting is supposed to be, whereas regular Marvel Universe is all capitals, like most comics. And so,
are you serious?
Yeah. You didn't notice
that? Is that what was throwing my eyes off? Because I just couldn't keep reading.
Yeah. So they kept the lettering different with the characters, so that's how you know which one's the ultimate one and which one's the regular Marvel that's Universe one is by the lettering.
God forbid I thought was actually really put some work in to make them very different from each other, you know what I mean?
But I mean, a lot of the characters look the same and are, you know, more or less. I mean, you see a big green Hulk, do you know where the Hulk came from? But true, if a Smash is written
different... Because that one's gray. Ultimate Universe is gray.
And what if they're fighting in the dark?
What if they're fighting in the dark? Okay, Dirt, you win.
But go on. As this being the last stand of the Ultimate Universe, I do enjoy hearing these characters. It's funny how a lot of times when you've got characters from the Ultimate Universes, they're like, hey, you're my best friend. Like, hey, you're just like me, whatever. But in this particular case, they can't stand each other. Mm-hmm. Like, everything that everybody hates about Tony Stark from the Ultimate Universe sees that in regular Tony Stark. And regular Tony Stark sees that in Ultimate. Even though they never see it in themselves, the other version of them, they're like, I hate this version of me. And everyone's like, that's exactly what you are. So I just the way that they've dealt with these two universes of characters being stuck together and the way that they interact, I've just enjoyed the way they've thought through a lot of the character interactions, and it really is a character-driven story more than... I mean, you've got these plots where Nick Fury of the Ultimate Universe doesn't trust any of the Hulks and wants to keep them all locked up, whereas Iron Man says, hey, Bruce Banner's my friend, we do stuff together all the time, you gotta let him out, you know, whatever. I just really enjoy the way that they play them off each other a lot of times, and to see these characters interact is just so much fun for me. So even though I don't know if the story is really going to go anywhere in the long run, if this is going to play any big part of Secret Wars, again, a lot of these books are made just for the fact of being able to play with these, you know, characters, and this one has been a lot of fun for that.
All right.
All right. And I only got through about one third of Broken World number 2, but it seems to be moving the story along in a great manner. When it picks up, we're 3 months after the predicted impact, if you go, for those who read the first issue. And there's flashbacks going back to 5 days after expected impact. So we kind of see how time has shifted from 3 months to 5 days back and forth, following the main character. I think her name is Alina. And I don't know, the art of course is the same from Christopher Peterson, but it seemed to really like pop and stand out more this issue. So kudos for that.
I read this earlier today, and the one thing that kind of stood out to me was I couldn't remember if this was an ongoing series or a limited series, and it was weird because the original issue covered a lot of ground in the first book, and then here in this one, it kind of decompresses a little bit and goes into a little more detail with the actions of things that are happening. So in a sense, not as much happens in this book. Excuse me. And so I was a little thrown off because I was expecting, with this being a limited series, it really felt like an ongoing in the way it was stretching things out. With it being a limited, I kind of expected the story to move along faster and get to some of the more, I don't know if you'd say more exciting, but some of the more, you know, plot-churning devices to be happening. You do get a couple things that happen that you didn't think, like, I'm trying not to spoil
it. It's 2 of 4, actually.
I'm trying not to spoil here, but... Yeah. But
it's issue 2 of 4.
Stuff that you didn't think was possible is now possible, and she's trying to figure out how to make certain things happen. But I just thought we'd be getting there a whole lot quicker to wrap things up. But again, it may be one of these situations where, even though this is a limited series of 4 issues, it may be part of a much bigger arc that they want to do. So this may end, you know,
without finality.
Right. It may feel like the end of an arc as opposed to the end of the story.
Like a volume 1 or volume 2. I definitely agree with that. I like that. We do find out, and without really spoiling too much, where's the bell? We do find out what happens to Alina's family, and there is a goal for her once the end of the world doesn't happen. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Rapid reviews?
I'll throw out a rapid review, and it's one of the stronger books I read this week because I just smiled while I was reading it. This is Groot number, what are we up to now?
Two.
Number two only? I think it's because I got two copies of number one. I got the Gwen Stacy alternate cover. That's why I got kind of thrown off. But, you know, what we have in this issue is a little bit of background on the relationship that has been built up kind of off page between Rocket Raccoon and Groot. It actually opens with something that I guess has been going on in Groot's entire history, which is the fact that people don't understand Groot because he says exactly three words, but, you know, means basically the entire language of the universe in those three words. You know, just in the inflection and in some of the ways that he says things, you know, things, different expressions are actually being said. So, you know, we have, you know, an entire story that that kind of is told in flashback, where, you know, we find out, well, you know, it wasn't exactly easy for Groot to get along with people if all he was saying is "I am Groot," and we get to the relationship, you know, where he meets Rocket Raccoon, how they build a relationship, how Rocket is actually able to understand Groot. And then, if you recall in the first issue, Rocket's been snatched. He's been kidnapped. And Groot is trying to rescue him. And at the end of this issue, he runs into a familiar spacefaring character in the Marvel Universe. And that's going to lead into a guest appearance in the third issue. So I enjoyed this book. This is a surprise contender for Click of the Week for me. Had a lot of fun reading this. I had a smile on my face pretty much every page I was reading.
Mm-hmm. Good endorsement.
Federal Bureau of Physics, number 22. No surprise here.
They've got 22 issues?
They've got 22 issues.
Wow.
I was going to say with no signs of stopping, but I'm not entirely sure anymore. and I'm saying that because the where we are in the stories, it seems like it's starting to get to, if not the end of an arc, but the end of the mainish type story. Because the whole overarching story kind of went a whole couple of different places during the whole time. Because you start off in one place and then it just shifts into something totally different. Like, we've had new characters come in and play a part or not. But at this point right now, and nothing in the book has anything to do with the cover, I will go ahead and say. Because for the most part, we are following some side characters as they travel the land. Because basically what's going on right now, physics are going crazy all over the earth. And, you know, tornadoes are popping up and all kinds of things are happening. So people are dying and this and that and the other. But on the other side of it, we have this group that has been trying to find and use dark matter, which is where our main people are. And they're trying to deal with that. But the two are connected because the dark matter may be the thing that is affecting Earth. So, like I said, we spent half of the book with the side characters just traveling to Earth because, you know, seeing how things are and just trying to get to a place where they can be safe. And then we have the main characters trying to deal with the situation because they figured out that, hey, this is something's wrong here and this is the problem and we need to do something about this before, you know, Earth goes kablooey or whatever the case may be.
Kablooey.
So, but it has been a good read. I've been enjoying this book the whole time.
Cool.
Anymore?
Nah, we ran through everything I read this week.
Actually, I'll throw one more, just because we can. If I can find it here. Bob's Burgers, number one.
Bob's Burgers!
This is the ongoing. The miniseries was so popular, sold out, reprinted, that they went ahead and made this an ongoing. And this is so much fun, especially if you like the show, which I do. So, definitely adds to that. But the way it's done, the creators of the TV show actually sit down and plot the stories, write some of them, do the artwork on some of them. So they're deeply involved in creating the comic, which is an interesting change from what we've seen in a lot of these. But the way it's done is that it's multiple things crammed together into each issue. So you'll get like a 8-page story at the beginning, and then you'll get like a page ripped out of someone's notebook that they were doodling in class, and then you'll get a page of just a one-page story of, you know, some funny little, maybe it's drawn like a Sunday comic strip or something like that, and then another two- or three-page story. So you get, like, this mashup of all these weird different storytelling devices all in one issue, which really makes it entertaining to see things through the eyes of different characters or to see, you know, the way the different creators, you know, kind of jump at the storytelling aspects. So it makes it more than just, you know, you're picking up a comic and you're reading what would be an episode of TV, you know, printed in a book. This is much more of a world-building type of thing as opposed to continuing the story. So it's a lot of fun. The show is great. I love the TV show. And the comic, this is another one of those comics that even my son will sit and read, and, you know, he and I can joke about it afterwards. So it's a fun thing all the way around.
That works. Cool.
All right, who's got a click?
Back issues.
I read a couple things. Let me see if I can come up with it real quick before we go into clicks of the week. Let's see. Last week. I did catch up with Loki: Agents of Asgard number 15. I thought that was pretty good. Thanks for you know, that great review last week, Roddy. You know, that got me reading this. I love the way they explained who Verity Willis is and how she got to the way how she got to be the way she is. I thought that was pretty cool. That definitely draws on a lot of old Simonson run Thor stuff. What else did I see? Oh, and I actually caught up on what was that Doomsday one called? The Kid Doomsday one?
Doomed.
The Miles Morales as Doomsday.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree with everything you guys said. You know, even though I remember seeing it on the show as I was flipping through very quickly, flipping through my review copy, I said, wow, they even have a Katie Bishop analog. And you know, as I flipped through, I was like, wow, it's so funny that it's so close. It hews so very closely to, what happens in Ultimate Spider-Man. So I did read that, and I agree. I emphatically agree with everyone's, take on it.
Okay.
Nice.
I read some, but I don't have them in front of me to remember what they were. So, oh, actually, I did read some about. Now that I do remember at least a couple of Valiant. I went back and read Imperium number 2 and Ninjak number 3, I believe it were, and I enjoyed both of them. I like Ninjak was fun because I enjoy Clay Mann's art and Matt Kent storytelling with. Ninjak going undercover to take down this weaponeer and get into it with the weaponeer's bodyguard, and we see some flashbacks to him growing up as a kid, I guess after his parents died, and being raised by, I guess, aka his Alfred. Not sure if he is still on good terms with his Alfred or not, but especially after he pulls a trick on him, or a prank, I should say.
Right.
And Imperium is telling the story of a black astronaut that was sent up into space by Russia during the, like, arms race between, I guess, United States and Russia. And he got sent up and stayed up in space for decades and came crashing back down to Earth. And now he has, like, all these, he basically has the power of, like, a god. And the Unity Strike Team has been sent in to take him down. And they, of course, stand no chance against him because he's all-powerful, it seems. Oh, we didn't even mention the Valiant Summit this week.
Oh, no, we didn't.
Yeah. Oops.
So, sorry about that, Valiant. Valiant Summit took place at the Twitter headquarters, and it was streamed live on Periscope. They announced, I guess, next year, 2016, will be Ezio Manowar number 50 from the same writer, Robert Venditti. Book of Death starts this month, actually, the big summer event. There will be a Dr. Mirage Volume 2, or, like, second volume to come out from Jen Van Meter, I think her name is. And there's going to be an Eternal Warrior, a new ongoing series from, I think, Robert Venditti's doing it, I think. He was one of the individuals that they had on hand at the live Periscope Valiant Summit event. But I think that was, like, the biggest news they announced at the show.
Okay.
So,
cool.
I guess I'll use the Book of Death as my time to get back into Valiant again. I'm trying to stay somewhat consistent with them. I like their little superhero universe.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I got a way back issues. I don't know, because I don't remember anything from last week I read, but I read Avengers 292 and 293, because for some strange reason, well, it wasn't a strange reason, it was right after we found out about some of the new Marvel books,
mm-hmm.
and it got me thinking about when Monica Rambeau was still Captain Marvel, and she was mm-hmm. leading Avengers, and this was pretty much the end of her run. I was like, wait a minute, because I was wondering, I kind of remember how she ended up leaving, and I remember what was part of stuff that was going on around the time.
Right, like she basically kills an alien and expends a lot of her energy.
Right. And right. there was may or may not have been some machinations by Dr. Druid.
Right.
Because you know, he was riding her the whole time. She was chairman, and she was kind of doubting herself the whole time, and he ended up being the, spoiler alert, he ended up being the chairman after this,
mm-hmm.
and other things that actually has to do with Guardians of the Galaxy a little bit kind of play, mm. now that I think about it, after that. But that's kind of what made me think about that one, and reading the 292 and 293.
All right, cool. All right.
So we're checking now?
My right. click of the week is Action Comics number 42.
Nice. Nice. The polar opposite of what Zert's feeling. I'm gonna go with Groot number 2. Stick to my guns. I had so much fun reading this issue. Lots and lots of fun reading this issue.
I would do Secret Wars, but in my heart of hearts, I just felt like Detective Comics and the GCPD throwbacks just stole the show this week. And Roddy doesn't like anything.
Nah, he's still thinking.
No, I was like to type it in you guys's, but and I probably would have had I read that book, probably would have joined you on that one. But I think I may go with it was kind of a close one for me. That's why I was stalling. But We Stand on Guard number 1. I'll go with that. Like A Force was pretty good. C Force was actually pretty good. The We Stand on Guard was actually a pretty. It's got me kind of interested in seeing what they do with that.
Cool.
I don't trust people that live in the attic.
Come on, throw your guns in the air. Throw your guns in the air.
Thank you.
Love it.
All right, Tim.
All right. Let's roll.
I want to thank everyone for tuning in live or listening to the podcast version of tonight's show. Make sure to follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDOGG98 and at CBCon. Agent 70 is at Agent_70. Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need. And Dirt is at PCN_Dirt, as you see on his handle on the screen.
Handmade!
And go to his website, popculturenetwork.com. And with that, we will see you next Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, where San Diego Comic-Con will be kicking off. We won't be there, but there will be some news Thursday to
Yeah, there will be some news for us to discuss.
Yeah.
And may you all have a happy and safe 4th of July celebration.
America!
We are the Comic Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Peace!